But Lloyd had ruined everything. Henry Berger proceeded to drink harder and faster than ever before in his life. He moved from beer to scotch until shot glasses slipped through his fingers and he could no longer bring them to his lips. Henry left the tavern bordering the reservation for his home in Mandan. "Give my regards to the little lady," Lloyd called after him. Henry made it to his pickup, but forgot to turn on the headlights. He could sense something was wrong as he moved out of the parking lot, but he was too busy trying to locate Route 6 in the utter darkness to pinpoint the problem. Once he found the road, he was able to ride it from memory. He felt it roll smoothly ahead of him, hearing the familiar sound it made beneath his tires, thrum, thrum, thrum. It soothed him, and his eyes were about to close in sleep when he heard the first chunks of gravel hit the side of his truck. On other nights, he had been oblivious to the sound, more aware of the twisting shadows beyond the road. At such times, he remembered stories from his childhood about vengeful Indians, fierce warriors who were always ready to die, and even a beautiful woman wearing a crimson flap of a dress who lured men to their death. This night, Henry was blind, and his other senses took over. He could hear voices moving with the wind, mocking voices speaking a language unfamiliar to him. Sioux, he guessed. More gravel hit his truck, denting the sides and flying off the undercarriage. Henry Berger momentarily forgot his cheating girlfriend and the good buddy he'd left behind him gloating at the bar. It was the old enemy rising up to challenge him. "Those goddamn Indians, they never quit," he thought. Henry rolled down his window and yelled at the Sioux ghosts he was certain were pelting his truck with rocks. "You shitheads don't even know me," he screamed. He gave them the finger and rolled his window shut as quickly as possible, so the angry ghosts couldn't shoot him out of his pickup. Moments later, Henry saw eyes coming toward him, the roundest eyes he'd ever seen. Indian ghosts in the Badlands were trying to play with his mind, he imagined. They'd sent eyes to scare him out of his white skin, to watch him peel away from his soul. Dead Indians were trying to put one over on Henry Berger. He wiped his sweaty hands on the lamb's wool seat cover and took firm hold of the steering wheel. "I'll slam you back to hell," he whispered to the eyes, heading straight for them. He charged his four-wheel drive pickup into their strange light, blinding them forever. Henry Berger became one with his steering wheel, and Harley Windsoldier's father and older brother were sucked out of the windshield of their car onto the hood where they rested like ornaments. Chapter 1. Grass Dancers, 1981. Charlene Thunder held a microphone to her mouth and blew into the silver mesh-covered dome which reminded her of a tea strainer. Feedback crackled from speakers, startling the people setting up concession stands and crafts tables into checking the sky for storm clouds. When Charlene's breath swept cleanly through the speakers, like ribbons of wind from the northern plains, she closed her eyes and listened. She pretended she was beside Harley Windsoldier, blowing gently on his breastbone. She would cool him down, only to heat him up. She would trace the outline of his ear with her soft fingers of breath, touching him without touching him. She would tease the hair at the nape of his neck, lifting a section with one long exhalation and separating individual strands with warm staccato puffs. On the ground below the girl stood Chuck Norris, the Kung Fu dog. He carefully checked all four directions before peeing on Charlene Thunder's hand-tooled leather purse. He had been scouting her activities all morning, waiting for a vulnerable moment, the chance to make a statement. When Charlene had carelessly dropped her bag beside the MC's platform, freeing her hands so she could help set up sound equipment, Chuck crept behind it, delicately lifted his good back leg, and released his hatred for Charlene in a thick stream of urine. Chuck Norris could be spiteful. Some believed it was because he could manage only one emotion at a time in his compact body, becoming wholly consumed by either affection or malice. He had the distinction of being the only Pomeranian pooch on the reservation, perhaps the only one in the state of North Dakota, and so was a bit of a local celebrity. The powwow committee was busy preparing the grounds for a 3-day dance festival called...